The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying. Father, we thank you for the chance to study your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the light and the life you give. We rejoice in your goodness. We delight in your mercy. We ask for your hand. Teach us today, we pray. Give us counsel in line with the things, O God, that you have said. Give us counsel. Instruct us, Lord, your magnificence in counsel. Instruct us, O God, that which is needful. Thank you for the spirit of power, love, and self-control. Convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The hands to one, our fingers to pray. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat. All right, so we are here for a study on the matters that the Spirit will allow us to look at this evening. You're welcome to this Wednesday, and I ask you that you have your questions on this day particularly. I expect people to ask questions, to seek understanding. One of the clearest things, you read it when you hear about the Lord Jesus, his first visit to the temple. His first visit, you read that when his parents found him, after searching for him for 3 days, they found him in the temple doing what? Asking questions. Found him asking questions, and astounding the people generally. His questions were astonishing. All the top intellectuals, the temple were there, listening to him and astonished, like, what kind of child is this? Okay, it says, after 3 days, chapter 2 of Luke 2, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And the Bible doesn't tell us, the scriptures didn't tell us that they were asking him questions. But obviously, he was asking questions. It's obvious he was asking questions. How do we know? Because the scriptures say he was answering. They were astonished at the answers he was giving. Okay? How could he be giving answers? What answers could he possibly be giving if he wasn't being asked questions? Is this clear? So, since he was not just answering questions, but he was also answering them, it means the discussion went to and fro. And I want you to know, therefore, it is scriptural that I ask you questions. Now that I've established that I can ask you questions, it's in the Bible. You can decide if you ask me to. They weren't just amazed at his question. They were amazed at his understanding. It's okay to be amazed at someone's understanding. It's okay. But it also means that you can have insightful questions. You don't always have to have light, flimsy questions like, who was the mother of Moses? You can ask real questions that are highly consequential, shows that you've been thinking deeply. He also said things that people did not understand very well. How do we know? When Mary rebuked him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." He answered, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. They did not understand what he was saying to them. So it is possible for him to say something they don't understand. Obviously, he didn't explain much more. All they need is that God come, maybe they go out. We don't understand. He was 12 years old. They didn't understand what he was saying. Like, didn't you know I must be in my father's house? A lot of what Jesus said, he was simply quoting scripture. A lot of the time, he was referring to something that was prophesied before he was born. The zeal of his father's house consumed him. The zeal for his father's house. Many people will not understand why you love to be in the house of the Lord. We expect them to understand. You're mistaken. Many people will not understand why someone might want to be in a church meeting over and over again. Now, the Bible says he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Went home and was obedient. But generally speaking, the desire to be in God's house is one of the signs that you're a child of God, a real child of God, that you are striving for sonship. Within you, there is a strong desire to be with God's people. Within you. It's one of the things that should be the case. It's one of the things that ought to be the norm. When someone truly desires and loves the Lord, he'll find himself drawn to him. He'll find himself drawn to the Lord strongly. He'll find himself drawn to the congregation of God's people. When you love the Lord, you love his people. There are many people that act like, no, I love the Lord, but I don't like his people. Something's wrong in that picture. The book of 1 John chapter 3. Tells you. Verse 10. This is how we know who are the children of God. Or this is how we know who the children of God are. And who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. There is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So when you find yourself not really loving God's people, what you have to do is don't run, don't feel bad. Pray and ask God to give you a new heart. Give your life to Jesus. You should love. should be attracted to God's children. You should enjoy being with God's people. There's a song. I love to be in your presence with your people singing praises. Love to stand in your presence. Lift my hand and raise my voice. The first line says, I love to be in your presence with your people singing praises. Singing praise. Should delight. David said it this way, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. If you find it the opposite, I had a dread when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. You better check your spirit and your soul. There are two things. One, your spirit may be regenerated. You may be justified, but your soul is messed up. Why would you not be excited about being with God's people? You're not okay. Let me take some time to address our sick brethren. If you suffer from the sickness of not liking to be with God's people, see a doctor soon. You're not okay. I saw a testimony, so I don't know how if she wrote it. I read a sister's testimony. She said she began to dread, but at least she knew that it was abnormal. She said she began to dread for meetings. Our sister shared, one of our sisters shared it on the hall, I think it was. She said she found that she began to dread being with God's people, and she prayed about it, and she cried. She said she came for one meeting. I've been praying, oh God, what's happening to my heart? She said she'll be in church meetings, people are laughing, and her face will be straight, and all sorts of different things happen. And she knew it was not okay, so she would pray and pray and say, God, please soften my heart. This is a terrible thing. This is a terrible thing. What kind of thing is this? And one meeting she came for, and I can't remember what she said was being taught. And she began to cry, and she cried almost throughout the meeting. She felt as every word that was being said was stabbing her heart. Crying. She had been asking God to melt her stony heart. That's what she had prayed. That God should melt her stony heart. And that was God answering her prayer. And after that, she said her joy was back. Her gladness was back. And everything was back. She prayed. I don't know if she even said she fasted. She was serious about it. It took, I don't know how many weeks, but she was back to normal. That's a good thing. That was a process. Now, what happened to her? She was undergoing some form of spiritual sickness. It happens. It has happened to some. Now, if your own has come and it has stayed, like HIV, you better pray for yourself. Because there are all sorts of weird so-called children of God. They're just weird. You're pained to be in the house of God. You don't think you should see a doctor. Pastors are meant to be spiritual doctors. See a chemist if you can't find a doctor. You have lots of pharmacists that can... I can prescribe some medication for you. You find yourself detesting the presence of God. Some people, it's not a feeling. They do it. Just stay away. Forever. So someone says, maybe come. Does someone need to tell you you're not well? You find yourself not eating, not wanting to eat all the time. You lack an appetite all the time. You don't know you're not well. You go and get multivites, multivitamins. To take to stir up spiritually, what do you do when you find yourself in that state? Never play with such things. You know, some people play with very serious things. No. Last week we were here and we saw that the temple of the Lord had light, right? In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. the Lord, God Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of the city of God. They are the temple. What a temple, the place of worship. They are the place of worship. It's saying here that the Lord God and the Lord Jesus are the temple. If the temple is a place, the venue is the Lord Jesus. The scriptures tell us that in the Lord Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. So, one, they don't need a special sanctuary, a holy place, a house, for the Lord himself in that city are a house. So what can we see? If this is going to be a physically manifested city, there will not be any need to have a place where they come to worship. Because the whole place, because we have the Lord, because we have a representation of the throne of the Lord in the Lord himself. So there's no special place you have to go to find the Lord, because he'll be everywhere. Do you understand? The Lord God will be everywhere. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, 17, 18. What agreement can exist between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And it's telling in the future that the living God will be the temple. In this time, we, our lives, are where God dwells. But the time will come, we will dwell in the temple, because the Lord our God will be with us. Okay? Now he hides his in you, because the whole earth is not yet full of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth is in a state that does not really allow for some of these things. So the Lord dwells in us, his people, collectively. You can go and look at Ephesians 2, verse 19 and 20, or more of that, 22. But it says that the day will come when the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will be the temple. And it's asking you, what agreement can exist between the temple of God and idols? What? For we are the temple of the living God. But as God has said, I will be with them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Did you see that? He said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. This is the temple in the city of God. Literally, you'll be, I guess, maybe sometimes you guys will sit down and discuss policy. Maybe you're discussing how to rework China or restore Lagos. And there's a group of you Nigerians. If there are enough overcomers in Nigeria, if they share Nigeria to Nigerians, and the temple will come, the Lord will walk up. How are you guys today? Nigerian delegation. Awesome. So you guys are talking about Lagos, right? I have a few thoughts. The temple will be moving. You are the temple today. But the day will come when he will be the temple. He says, I will dwell with them and walk among them. And I will be their God. They will be my people. They will be my people. It's going to be a beautiful time. It's a time you should all look forward to. It's going to be really, really amazing. It will be a great thing to participate in these things. The nations will walk by its light. What light? The light of the city. City does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Container of the light is the Lamb. The temple carries the light. All these pictures we've been given of a light within a tabernacle will be fulfilled. And you see that all of this temple was just to carry the light of God. And in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus is the lamp. The lamp. The lamb is its lamp. B, P. The lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world will be the carrier of the light that is the glory of God, which will fill up the Son of God, and it will illuminate the city. That's the light of the city. Now the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. The nations will look at the city of God, and they will use its light. What light? Do you mean that there will be no sun in the earth at all, and they will shine out so bright that all the ends of the earth will be using the light from it? No, that's not what it means. What it means, at least I don't think that's what it means. I think that the light of this city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, will be what? Its knowledge, its truth, its counsel. That's what I believe it will be. I believe that there will be direction and knowledge and clarity. Let's see that in the book of Isaiah chapter 2. Start from verse 1. This is the message that was revealed to Isaiah, son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, are you watching? The mountain of the house of the Lord, the house, the temple of the Lord, will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Have you seen that? So, this is the house of the Lord. This is the mountain on which it is established. Mount Zion is a mountain, for your information. That's why it is Mount Zion. Mountain Zion is a mountain. Are we happy? Eh? Mount Zion is a mountain. Have you agreed? In the last days, that mountain, the Mount Zion, will be established as the chief of the mountains, the highest. It will be raised above the hill. Other nations, powers, governments in the spirits are represented as mountains. Are you listening? This mountain will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it. All nations. You hear it's all nations. You know, I feel like talking about the end times. I always like to talk about the end times, but we see dimly, can't see clearly. Sometimes we are just guessing. But there are some things we are sure of. Whatever this passage means, I'm sure of it. Now, don't ask me what it means, but I'm sure this thing will happen. Alright, so it will be raised above the hills, and many peoples will come and say. Peoples are people groups, right? They will come and say, come. Do you see they'll come and say? You see it's in the Bible. Please, if you don't have understanding. They will come and say, come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, or to the temple. The God of Jacob. The house of God is the temple. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For the law, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Therefore, what do we see? The nations of the earth will walk in its light. What is its light? The word of God is the light. Did we study that the other way? The unfolding of thy word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. So the simple will come. The nations of earth who have not learned the ways of the Lord, who do not know the ways of the Lord, who do not understand the ways of the Lord, they will come. They will come. And they will ask. But that clock is off by more than an hour. They will come and they will walk in the light of the truth. Are you listening? Do you understand what the light is now? The nations of the earth will walk in its light. It's the law of the Lord. It will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That will be the center of the earth. That's where the events that matter will happen. People will come there. They will come there to learn the truth. They will come there to learn the heart of God. They will come there to learn the mind of God. When you want to see, when you want direction for your country, when you want counsel for your society, you will find your way to Mount Zion. Question. Are you guys helping Mount Zion fulfill its destiny? Because the light of truth was meant to go forth from Zion. Psalm 50, verse 1. A psalm of Asaph, not David. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. From where the sun rises to where it sets, that's from the east to the west. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Are you saying? Our God approaches and will not be silent. Consuming fire precedes him, and the tempest rages around him. What do you see? Out of Zion, from Zion, perfect in beauty. Is Zion here yet? Is Zion perfect in beauty? Is the body of Christ perfect? Is approaching, he will not be silent. You want to know when this is? Consuming fire precedes him, and the tempest rages around him. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Before here, he had just said that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? As he comes. So he said, our God comes. You saw example? Do you see his coming? When he comes, he will be established at the top of the mountains. He will take his place. He'll step into his authority. You know this, our Lord Jesus, that seems so weak and endures all sorts of things and doesn't say much and allows people to disrespect him. He's actually a very big and powerful person. You hear the secret? This our Jesus is very big and powerful. He's pretending. Tell your neighbor, respect him, oh. In they come, oh. I don't know if you can believe. In they come, oh. He's coming, oh. He's actually. Actually, I'm trying not to say a big boy. He's a big guy. He's a big guy. Let us worship God acceptably, okay? With reverence and awe. Awe is not, you know what awe means? It's not respect. You're disrespecting the word by saying respect. You know what awe is? No, it's not reverence, because reverence is there. With reverence and awe. Great fear, intimidation, dread. To be in awe of something. The picture of awe. Who can give me a picture of awe? I'm seeing only one person. I saw only one person demonstrate it. What is that? Is that catatonic state? That you just froze. I don't know about that. Who wants to show me a picture of me in awe? Well, those so-called GDT people. Why was it be success every time? Let's see, he showed me awe plus. Someone already showed me, but I wanted some. It's not, I've already seen an example, but I want to see someone. Show, on this side, show me all from where you are. Good. 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 He's on the off plus. This is what he did. That's all. All is the gentle one. Ambi's version. But the village version. Which is better? That's the original one. This other one, they whitewashed it. Oh, God said you should serve him with reverence and awe, not with. Yeah, no, it's okay. No what? Eh? Yes, awe. Not no awe. Let there be awe. If there's no awe involved in your worshiping God, you know, many people, that's when you lose it. That's how you begin to lose it. You lose your awe for God. God becomes your guide. That's when you start to die. Just the mere fact you don't respect, angels are already disrespecting you. And despising you, you don't have regard. If small me, human being, with my limited vision, I feel so ticked off when people take God for granted. You want to tick me off. Like you turn me off. Like I'm turned off. I think of you and I can't understand how you lack respect. It sucks my respect for you. It sucks it out of me. I have to beg God to help me. Look at you without spitting. than angels that see his face. Do you understand that the, who has read about the presence of God before? I mean, your Bible. Have you read about the presence of God? How the angels there behaving? They are not even angels. The Bible is a cherubim. Seraphim. The book of Ezekiel before. The angels that are around the Lord, what do they say? What else do they say? None of you knows. What is the most common sound from the angels around the throne? Holy. 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 They tend to say holy a lot. Why? Why? Because they are in awe of our God. The angels cry holy, holy, holy. Because he's awesome. He's glorious. He's amazing. They don't take him for granted. They are intimidated by his awesomeness. Are you listening? That is how the angels take the Lord. You shouldn't take him any less than that. Imagine angels that go up and come down. They see him. They just came from his majesty. Then they came and heard you treating him lightly. The scriptures tell in the book of Ezekiel a little about how they view him. Have you read it before? How were the angels in his presence behaving? The scriptures let you know that they cover their faces. You've never read before? You've not read that the angels that huge. That they have a pair of wings just for covering their eyes. Thus, they are in such awe. And where do these angels normally live? In his presence. So this time they are covering their face. Is it like they just met him? Are you sure it wasn't new angels? They are the old angels that guard his throne. They are the same ones. And they are still in awe. After how long? How long can you be in awe of something you are in front of? You are not understanding. That is the God you go like high five. That God. That God is to be held in dread. Are you listening? That God is to be esteemed greatly. He is not a God that you should treat lightly because he is majestic. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord seated on a high elevated throne. The hem of his robe filled what? The temple. The hem, the edge of his robe, it filled up the temple. Seraphs, seraphim, a seraph, single, seraphim, plural. Sorry, seraphim, plural, yes. A seraph, single. Like just like a cherub, single cherubim, plural, many cherubs. Seraph stood over him. Each one had six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and they used the remaining two to fly. So two for the face, for their dirty legs. I don't know how their legs could be dirty, but they covered it. They covered their eyes because the scriptures say that God's eyes are too pure to behold. I don't know. But these angels didn't feel like looking at him. I don't know what they did. You don't know. Who has read the point in Psalm that he does not hold his angels guiltless? You haven't. You think the angels are perfect? Next to God, they are guilty. Yes. The way they are looking at me now, I have to prove it. Wow. He doesn't consider them pure. You're the one that has all sorts of funny ideas. We really don't know how separate God is. When the Bible says he's holy, it means set apart. He's different from everything. It's not like God and his angels, all of them are one. Sorry, let the noise pass. We cry holy, holy. We cry holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who art and is to come. I was reading. They used the remaining two to fly. They called out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. His majestic splendor fills the entire earth. You see that? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his splendor. I change it to King James. The sound of their voices shook the door frames, and the temple was filled with smoke. You know Isaiah's reaction? I've been prophesying since chapter 1, each chapter 6. This is a prophet in the sea. After he saw this, he went, I said, woe, woe to me. I am destroyed, for my lips are contaminated by sin. And I live among people whose lips are contaminated by sin. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. I'm finished. Let's just summarize. This is his reaction when he saw God. He didn't go like, I have a word to share. Tonight, that was not his reaction. He went like, Ewo. In case you don't know the meaning of woe, it's Ewo. That's the simplest understanding I can give you. I'm serious. The word is from the word Ui, which is a cry of anguish, of despair. Oh, hey. That's what woe is. Woe is not God punish you. No. Woe is not a curse. Woe is try. Who do you? Sorry. That's what woe means. So whenever you read woe to the inhabitants of, it means sorrow, grief. It's an exclamation of sorrow. Oh, inhabitants of Edom. Chorazin, hey, Bethsaida, do you understand? That's what we mean. It's not God punished Chorazin. God punished Bethsaida. God, you know when I saw this, when I saw my scripture, 1998, I saw two things I learned. I saw about fool. I saw about this. I went and looked in the concordance. I just newly found the concordance. And I was wondering, why would God be cursing people up and down like this? I thought he said we shouldn't do it. Why is he doing it? Is God a hypocrite? And I went and studied, now looked up those words. And so I went like, oh, wow. He didn't mean it the way I thought. You may be unwise. You may be foolish. It doesn't mean he's crushing you and calling you useless or worthless. He said, I am destroyed. My lips are contaminated by sin. That's what happens when you see the Lord. When we behold the angelic realm, when we see the Lord, we will be transformed by his blinding beauty and his purity, his holiness. However, I'm just adding this because there's always someone that feels a bit too, that carries burdens that God doesn't give him. When he said that one of the seraphs flew toward him, in his hand was a hot coal that had taken from the altar and tongues. He touched my mouth with it and said, look, this coal has touched your lips. Your evil is removed. Your sin is forgiven. In case you think he was exaggerating, he was guilty. He had to clean the sin. This is what God does with his prophetic ministry. He cleans them so he can use them better. Don't think that the lips of prophetic people are necessarily clean. Make them your way there. You don't have to be perfect to speak for the king. Your God is able to clean you up. Your God is able to clean you up. Are you hearing? Who was and is to come? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to come? Oh, oh, oh. Job chapter 4, verse 18. I'm sorry, it's in the book of Job, not Psalms. Want to hear what it says? It says, if God puts no trust in his servants and charges his angels with error. Do you hear? You don't understand. You think the angels are good at their work? They do things and God says, what is this? Are you not reading it? Other translations, come on. What's this now? Is that how I say it? He charges his angels with foolishness. Another, he charges them with folly. Another, sees error in his angels. He puts no faith in his servants and he sees error in his angels. You still think this is your best BFF? You still think God is no, this is how we roll. He doesn't even roll with his angels. God is in a class of his own. Are you listening? So have respect. You want to read next verse? Go on verse 19. after you want to understand, you have to start from verse 17. So if God puts no trust in his servants and charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay? Who are those? Who? Clay pots. Oh, okay. They say you guys live in houses of clay. In other words, angels do not live in houses of clay. Do you understand? Adam, the first, dwells in a house of clay. Do you see they literally say you guys live in houses of clay? Now, I know when you read it the first time, you went like, okay, a mud house. God forgive me. No, that's you. That's you. Clay for you. See. Clay. Sand. Now, sand, they can't make you. Sand. Look at the attention you pay to sand. When you don't understand left from right, look at the amount of attention you deck sand with. You look for things to put on sand. How much is this shirt? 4,000, 5,000, okay, 2,000. How much is the other one? 45,000. Give me that one. Sand. Put on sand. Go out and carry costly things and rub on sand. Don't give too much attention. You dwell in clay houses. From whose foundations are in the dust, who can be crushed like a moth? How many of you have killed moths? Confess. You see your future. Sorry, it's not your future, but it can be. As you did to that moth, be careful. Because this is your future. If you are not careful. Man can be crushed like a moth. So you want God. He doesn't trust in his servants. I hope you know angels are his servants. And charges his angels with error. Is it you? Better cool down. In verse 17, let's give me verse 17. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Or a man more pure than his maker? You know, I found myself talking about this during the school of ministry class today. And I was talking about how people, I don't know if it can be slipped out, it should be slipped out. How people are so disrespectful that they think they are more pure than their maker. That's why people will stand up and teach things that You guys apologize for God. If you used to do it, stop it. Don't ever apologize for God. Just stop. Are you more pure? More righteous than God? More pure than your maker? Don't do it. God never asks you to do it. That's what wrong doctrine does. A runner's doctrine will make you think, oh, this place, God made a mistake. So you try and explain it away. If you have been doing that, stop. Apologize for God. After I say a little, I'm going to stop. I'll take questions. I apologize for God. You're not more righteous than your God, and you're not more pure than your maker. Or you can claim to be. Just make sure you don't end up at his judgment seat. Don't charge God with anything. Don't charge God with anything. Don't talk to God as though He made a mistake. God made a mistake there in that matter. He's the Almighty. He doesn't make mistakes. How do you know? That's when I move away from you, so lightning will not think that I was talking with you. I don't do the crab walk to the side. Holy, holy, holy. The Bible says in verse 20 to 21, after he said that you're crushed like the moth, it now says, they have smashed to pieces from dawn to dusk, unnoticed, they perish. This is what God thinks about you forever. Are not their tent cords pulled up, so that they die without wisdom. Are you see? NET said they die yet without attaining wisdom. Is not their excess wealth taken away from them? And they die. You want to know you lack wisdom? They die yet without attaining wisdom. So if you attain wisdom, you wouldn't have excess wealth. I'm hoping when you ask questions, someone will ask me about money. I'm hoping. I don't know why you guys don't ask questions about money. I know some of you have been here for years, so you already have asked, but the newer people, don't be a coward. And don't sit down and disagree with me. And then, you know, I heard today that Pastor Banky in a conference in Port Harcourt, our brother, he said, Pastor Banky asked, said, are you saying that God does not want us to be rich? Are you saying that it is bad for me to aspire to be rich? Pastor Banky, being a teacher, and me being a pastor and teacher, takes the mic and says, yes. Next question. So while you have me, enjoy me. They say he says yes and says next. That's all. God bless Pastor Banky. God bless me too. I wonder if you bless me more when I start answering questions like that. Yes? Me, I'll be explaining. Like the heart of a pastor, eh? Be pitching people every time, hoping they can see. Can you see? Are you sure? Are you very, very sure? Better be while we have time before you become like Port Harcourt and you have to get home back. That's what I mean. Yes. That's the answer. Said the guy kept standing. Is that for seconds after I was still standing? Oh my God. You're not more righteous than God, you. Neither are you purer than your maker. Hold yourself. You know the person that spoke this thing was a message that came to Eliphaz, the friend of Job. He didn't say it directly. He said in verse 12, now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear caught a whisper of it. Dread gripped me in verse 14, which made all my bones shake. Then a breath of air passes by my face. It makes the hair of my flesh stand up. It stands still, but I cannot recognize its appearance. An image is before my eyes, and I heard a murmuring voice. Is mortal man righteous before God, or a man pure before his creator? So he had an angelic encounter, and is that being that stood in front of him and asked this question. Hey, really? You guys think you're better than God? How is that? The older I grow, the less I sound as if I'm apologizing for God. Who are you? Clay pot. Woe to him who contends with his maker. Bible says, grief will meet you. Contend with your maker. You think you have something to drag God's shirt about? You have none. He owes you nothing. You should be dead. The wickedness you committed between 5 and 10 years of age, you should be dead. God made their death. Don't be asking questions. God, is it fair? If God is fair, if he shows you fairness to be in the form of a casket. I'm just giving you small glimpses of wisdom because some people never have it. God, is it fair? God, we should do fair. Do fair. Take his life. Have you said I should be fair? You should be dead. I'm not saying God is not fair. I'm saying the way you are thinking while you're saying, is it fair? Be careful in case he starts playing fair. Because that your classmate that ran in front of a moving car when they said don't leave the compound and died was more well behaved than you. You as problematic as you were, you are still walking around. Leave the fairness, deal with the plan, go with what he has chosen to do. I almost wanted to tell you about the Lord some more in Ezekiel, but nah. You want to see the Lord? Go and visit him. In the book of Ezekiel, you can read chapter 1, but you can also read chapter 8, 9, and 10. You see the Lord moving. But chapter 1 is very interesting. I don't want to read it. It's too much. But this is, like, the whole thing is, some people said this was a spaceship. An unidentified flying object. There were cherubim around him. All sorts of things. Now, some of you don't know, but when we were here seeking the Lord, when was it? What day did I ask the Lord to open your eyes to see the angels of the house? Huh? This last Saturday. The Saturday before the last one. I asked the Lord, and multiple people saw for the first time, multiple people, about five or six people said the same thing. It's an angelic being. But the leg was not like a human leg. It was like a calf. Did you hear it? Let me read for you Ezekiel 1. Verse 5. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Are you seeing? This one does not have six wings. It's four wings, right? And this one has four faces. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf. And gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings. And the wings of one touched the wings of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. I'll stop there for now. Just know that these living creatures exist. So when you hear people sharing here that Saturday morning, that Saturday was afternoon, that they saw an angelic being and then the legs, then different people kept saying that that's the same thing they saw. The legs lift. I want you to possibly consider that, you know, there's all sorts of living creatures. And they are the host of heaven. That's why they are called the host of heaven. There's not one kind, just like there are different tribes on earth, different people, different kinds, cultures. There are different kinds of angelic beings. So when we start seeing new, it's not that we haven't seen one or two different, but that new kinds of angelic beings that had the traits. Many people say it looks like the leg of a cow. look like the leg of a calf. Like it has hooves, like a calf. That's not an anomaly. That's actually normal. So it depends on what you were shown. And these are typically considered to be cherubim. They may have not used the word here for cherubim, but later on and in other parts of the scriptures, when they are described as having four faces standing around the throne, they are said to be cherubim or cherubim. See, the hard form is actually this. What I'd like you to take, all I'd like the church to take from that is that when you see certain kinds of angelic beings, expect certain kinds of things that accompany the presence of such beings. They're different beings, they carry different presences. Maybe we'll talk about it more on Friday, maybe. All right. Holy, holy, holy. Okay, questions. Now, you can ask a question about anything I've said or anything I've not said. You can ask a question about past classes, anything. Anything you think that goes with the season. Anything you know the Lord, you believe the Lord is saying in this time, in this season. Anything that has concerned you, anything that is of importance to you. Please do not ask any unnecessary question. What I mean by that is this. Don't ask. The 24 elders around the throne. Is it true? Do they keep throwing their crown and carrying up like that throughout? Won't their backs pain them? Don't ask me about anything I do not certify to know the answer. Okay? I don't know if their backs will pain them. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they do. I don't know if that's all they do. I don't know if they just did it for John so he can write down his vision. I have no idea of why they keep doing that. I know God is. I mean, these angels kept saying to each other, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord. They were saying to each other, I don't know if you saw. The Lord God Almighty. This one was saying back. They just. How long do they do it? I don't know. But I do know they were saying things to each other. It was shown to them also so it could be put on record and brought down for us. God wants us to have it on record. Okay? Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I'm asking as regards the other question, if a Christian should aspire to be rich. I'm asking if it's based on, he said no. So I want to understand if it's based on the consciousness that as a believer, Christ was made poor that you become rich. So as it is, your current nature is like your state of mind should be that you have all things, but not to pursue it. I want to know if it's what's the
you
idea.
You don't pursue it.
Like, my point is that.
He aspire. I wasn't in the meeting. I know nothing else about that meeting. I don't know his point of view. I'll guess. I have my point of view, which is based on scripture, and I suspect it's similar. But I didn't hear anything else about apart from what I told you. So your real question, I think, is what do I think about as
yes,
pursuing riches?
Yes, sir.
The Bible commands you not to try to be rich. It's commanded. In spite of what your preacher is telling you. And on the day of judgment, you will know who was obedient and who was not. Have you ever done a study on the word rich? So this is my assignment to you. Do a study on the word rich. Just go to a concordance and type. This is a bigger job than this. So I'll do a simple answer, but you must do it. That's how I train people. So know things for yourself. God richly blessed Abraham. Okay? God understood that they will have the poor with them always. Jesus said that, right? The poor you will have with you always. Jesus said that, right? Always, right? Always, right? Christ died that we may be rich, but the poor you have with you always. The apostles were rich or poor. Remember how we started? I have a right to ask questions. That all of the apostles, rich or poor? You're not sure. Microphone. Give him a microphone. Let's stay with him. Where's the other microphone? I have another one. But till he's done, don't take the mic from him. Yes. Speak freely.
Okay. I think they had all they required, they needed at that point. So.
No, that's not what it means to be rich. To be rich means to have excess.
Okay, sorry, maybe I didn't understand what it meant to be rich. I was only referring
to. Do you think rich means to have enough? That's all these Christians that want to be rich are trying to have enough. I mean, the most popular doctrine in Pentecostalism, what they want is food to eat and clothes to wear. Are you real?
So that was my idea of.
No, not you. No, don't do that. Okay. I will not allow you. Stop it. No, I've been in Pentecost. I was in Pentecostalism for at least 20 years. Some people are wondering what else are you into? Have you not all Pentecostal? I'm not a Pentecostal. I stopped being a Pentecostal like years ago. I've not been a Pentecostal for more than 10 years. Pentecostalism is a dimension of Christianity. You have many brethren that are Passover rites. They've never entered Pentecost. They stopped at Passover. Many churches around the world. You know, you see, because we don't distinguish things, then Passover, they believe in the blood of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. They don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They are born again. In America, they call them evangelicals. They have never been Pentecostals. Pentecostalism is a group. Pentecostal. That group, so they are still in Jesus. They've partaken in his blood. They've partaken in the age of Passover. They are justified by the blood. But to believe in the power of the Spirit, no. When the apostles died, they dragged healing and prophecy into the grave with them. Then there's the other group, the Pentecostals, who have added to that more. And they've grabbed this. But unfortunately, like the Passoverites, they stopped there. You have Tabernacles after that. So, for everybody that moves forward, you have the past plus the new one you have. So, it doesn't mean you throw away the former. So, when you become a partaker in Tabernacles, you have all the other two too. Actually, the kingdom of God is like a woman who took yeast and hid it in three measures of dough. So, the kingdom of God was revealed in one measure, two measures, three measures. And we still partake in all of this, but we add more. So the understanding of someone in Tabernacle, now we haven't accessed it fully, just little, just barely entering it. We are just entering. But the mindset with this one is very different. It's quite different. It's quite different. But my brother, I'm not agreeing. What's your name? Barnabas, do not say, please, don't say that you thought when Christians say they want to be rich, that you thought they wanted food to eat and clothes to wear, please. Don't say it again. God forgive you for saying it before. Don't say this. Christians say they want to be rich. They want 100 million in the bank. They want 200 million. They want money that they can meet every desire they want. That's what they mean by riches. When the preachers say you should be rich, that's not what they are talking about. That's not even what the word rich means. Having enough is not to be rich. That's not rich. that you are blessed or that you are provided for sufficiently is not the same as being rich. If it is, then why on earth does 1 Timothy 6 say to those that are rich among you to be rich in good works? Being rich is a rare thing. It's not a common, it's not in the early church. It's never been a thing that, you know, being rich is a thing that happens to few people. It's always been so. I've mentioned 1 Timothy 6. You can note down those passages. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Those are the teachings on riches from the mouth of Jesus. Matthew 6 and the apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and chapter 4. The basic understanding of riches is this. Mark chapter 10. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Seeing as we now have to define the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is a season when heaven will kiss the earth in a primary way. It's a phase of time that shall be, which the Jews were looking forward to. They knew it from the scriptures. Isaiah prophesied it, Ezekiel prophesied it, the prophets prophesied it. They knew, they were living for it. It is the city of God I was just talking about. That's the kingdom of God. In that time, there will be righteousness, peace, and joy. Today, we experience the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, through righteousness, peace, and joy in your heart and in your life. Even if you're in prison, righteousness, peace, and joy is yours. But in that day, the kingdom of God will not just be in your spirit and experienced in part in your soul. You will experience it in your body. So there will be righteousness, peace, and joy in your whole life experience, physically. At this time, you enjoy righteousness, but many times we don't have peace externally. You watching, everything I'm saying, you can still track it here. So you have righteousness now. It's given to you through Jesus. But as the kingdom of God unfolds further, you experience peace. And then there will come a time when you have joy. The fullness of joy. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have any now. But I'm saying in the experiences that God gives us, at this time, we receive this salvation of our spirit. As time goes on, we are, right now, as we are sanctified, obeying God, we experience the salvation of our souls. And then when the day star fully dawns in our hearts and we have received an immortal body, you receive the salvation of your body. God always unfolds it like this. It's a three-dimensional soteria salvation of God. He keeps unfolding. Those who are rich in this world. The Bible is clear. World, aeon, age. In this time. Give me 1 Timothy 6. Are at risk. Give me James 2. Verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen the poor of this world? That's not a mistake. You're not reading anything by error there. God has, he said, this world. He didn't say has God not chosen the poor. No, he said the poor of this world. God has chosen the poor of this world to be what? Rich. In what? Faith. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Faith is what pleases God. and the poor are rich in faith. They are loaded. When they show up in front of God, they are loaded. Enough faith. They pull out large words of faith. Lord, I trust you for my son's school fees. I trust you for my daughter's health. You know, we don't have any money to go to any hospital. Lord, I trust you. So in front of God, they are rich, but they are rich in faith. And since faith pleases God, so they please God much because they live like people who depend on him. I'm explaining why Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why it is so hard for a rich man is not because God hates him. It's because the rich man is very poor in faith. Somehow, mangled theology has somehow made it end up seeming as though the poor man is also poor in faith, and the rich man is rich in faith. Yes or no? When you want to see Satan's hand, just think through what you're thinking. You didn't hear me? Think through. Not what you're saying. Sometimes you're not saying anything. You're thinking. When you are finished thinking, think through what you just thought. How many people think through what they think? If you want God to help you understand, then be thinking through what you think. When you are finished thinking, some people, once you think, you just say yes, you wrap it up. No. Think, come back, think through your thoughts, think through what you thought about what you thought. Just pay the price. When you finish, you will probably not be thinking nonsense. Because what? How did we end up? Is this in the Bible? Did it say, has not God chosen the poor Christians of this world? God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And to do what? To inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. Do you understand that he said God has chosen? No, you don't understand. God has chosen it. You don't want to know what he means. He has chosen them to do what? To inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him. That kingdom is the kingdom he's talking about. First Corinthians 2. God has chosen them to inherit it. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Did I say 2? 1. Verse 26. Look at it. Brothers, consider the time of your calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Who is he talking to? The brethren in Corinth. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Yes? But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. What else did God do? He chose the lowly and despised things of the world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, to cancel them out. The lowly and despised things of the world. Who are the lowly and despised things of the world? Who are the nothings? The things that are not. Why did he choose them? To nullify the things that are. Who are the things that are? Next verse. So that no one may boast in his presence. Mark 10. I know I said Timothy 6, and we'll go there. Verse 25. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You see these passages that nobody touches? They have a meaning. Keep going. We didn't start from the beginning. His disciples were astonished before, because he said it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they went, eh? He worsened it. He now said, camels do better through needle eyes than rich men. They were even more astonished. This is Jesus. And said to one another, who then can be saved? Why? Because all of them were aspiring to be rich. You don't know why? The Pharisees sat in the seat of Moses. And the Pharisees were covetous. The Bible says so. It says, Jesus was teaching about money. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. He said, the Pharisees scoffed at him, scorned him, because they were covetous. It was official. They preached the prosperity gospel. The Pharisees were preaching prosperity gospel. And the Pharisees sat in the seat of Moses. They were the primary teachers of the people. The Sadducees were the ruling class. They held on to the office of the high priest. These were categories that came to exist since the time of the Maccabeans. Pharisees, Sadducees. The Sadducees held on to that post. The Pharisees were many. They were the strictest set. Strict. Now, the scriptures say, Jesus was talking and said, the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses in Matthew 23, and whatsoever thing they say. So they are the primary teachers. Most people didn't follow them for their theory. They did not believe in the supernatural. They were quite godless. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection that was coming. The Bible says. The Pharisees believed in all. The Pharisees were the ones that were closer to truth. Out of the truth. But their living was hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. They said, but didn't do. That was their primary challenge. And the Bible says they love money. Alright. So it's nothing, there's nothing new under the sun. The scriptures say they were even more astonished when Jesus said this and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. What is impossible? Brother, are you with me? What is impossible? For a rich man to enter the kingdom is impossible with man. For you to enter the kingdom of God and be rich on this earth, God must be directly involved. And I don't think that means getting born again. Only. I think it means submitting yourself to God in a way that only the rich can. Now, you ask for messages on this. I've spoken on this extensively, okay? Ask for the messages from the life of Job, the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You want to know how to be rich and also enter the kingdom? Study the examples. You have Abraham. How was he? Isaac, how was he? Jacob, how was he? Joseph, how was he? How was Daniel? Do you think Daniel would have been rich? Huh? How do you think Job was? Job is the best example because you get details. Everybody talks about Job and everybody forgets to take the best lessons that Job has to give. You find them in chapter 29 and 31. Job was the source of joy to all the poor. That is how to be rich. That is why God looked at the earth and said, there is none like Job. And he was the wealthiest of the men of the east. And so Job was with God. Because with God, it is possible for a righteous man. Minus God. Are you listening? And I've explained what happens with God. With God, actually, what happens is that you become poor in the God kind of way. So you have, but you actually don't have. Why? Because all you have belongs to God. Not by talk, but in fact. He tells you right now, I want you to move 500 million to the left like this. You say, yes, sir, and move it. There's no discussion, there's no dragging, there's nothing like, no, this is my money. That's the only way to be rich. You're rich in God. God gave this 1 Timothy 6. So go to, I've given you Job 29, go and look at it, and you will see the kind of person Job was. You also look at chapter 31. Look there, okay? If you want to hear what I have to say about it, go and see how Job used to file lawsuits. Whenever they're oppressing someone, he employ lawyers for the person. Job was the best. He said there's nobody he saw being oppressed that he didn't intervene. How many rich people do you know like that? If Job passes and your matter enters his ear, he hears. The Bible says, widows, when you lose your husband, don't worry. You're on Job's pay, monthly pay. Like you're covered. Once Job comes across you, he's done. How many rich people do you know like that? Have you seen rich people adopt one person or two and find themselves for the rest of their life? Yes. We are helping them. I mean, we give full-blown scholarship, send that to the best school. How many people? One, two. Oh, God, madam, how much money do you have? Well, you need to ask our company. How much do you spend on this girl to train her from the end? Her school fee was not a joke, oh. 500,000 every month, every semester. Yes, ma'am. So how much? Let's estimate. Not 10, 4 years plus. I'm not moving for some. 5 million. How much money do you have? Give or take. Savings. Give or take. 500 million. You brought out 1/10. 1/100. Why were you finding yourself? Off the AC. Why are you finding yourself? You put your hand in a bucket of water and did like this. And start praising yourself. Nobody is so then they do good. It's just like Abraham. Everybody likes to talk about Abraham. The blessings of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is in the book of Acts chapter 3. And it means that God comes to you first and takes away your iniquity. Losing your iniquity is the blessing of Abraham. In your Bible. Blessing of Abraham is the removal of your iniquity. The blessing of Abraham is the removal of your iniquity. You and Bible, who's having a book class? Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken and foretold these days, and you are the heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you, to bless you. The blessing of Abraham. By turning each of you from your wicked ways. That is the blessing of Abraham. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Right, 25 and 26. The blessing of Abraham is to remove your iniquity, your sins, your wickedness. Has nothing to do with money. Nothing. No cow, no goods, no gold. Those were shadows of things to come. The spiritual gold is renewed and given access. He says the Lord Jesus made a way into where? The Holy of Holies through his blood, his veil, the veil is fresh. It's through the shedding of his blood. He gave you access to the gold, which is his, and the silver is his. He led you into his presence. Redemption. The divine nature of 2 Peter made you a partaker of the divine nature. That is what Abraham was rich in. The peace of God. He was rich in the divine nature, the goodness of God. That was a shadow of things to come. If it was money, Jesus would have been the richest man on earth. Why did Jesus tell you so many times, follow me, as I follow Christ? Why? Why does he say it so many times? Paul says it, Peter says it. As long as I'm in this body, I'll remind you. I keep saying people, it's because they don't know history or something. Or they don't know reality. Right now, you have brethren in prison only because they are Christians. How are they meant to be rich? Oh yeah, finish up for me in 1 Timothy 6 so I can answer other questions. I can't see you holding the mic. Yes, I mean you. Instruct those who are rich. And were you done? I wasn't referring to his mic. Okay. Instruct those who are rich in the present age. Take note, Aeonius, the present age. Not to be conceited. Instruct. Did you say I should instruct them? Yes, it was 10 Timothy. Me, I'm a pastor like Timothy. Instruct those. Is this everybody? Those who are rich in the present age. Because you can be rich in the next age, or you can be poor. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Not to be conceited. Tell them, they are rich. How did they get rich? Inheritance. They worked hard. They are just lucky. They have a gift of giving. One of the signs of a gift of giving is when you do small things, it becomes money. It goes like this. There are people that don't have the gift. That's why it's very foolish for someone to come and stand here and say, all those that want to be blessed, bring the sum of 100,000 naira. What on earth? This instruction we are reading here, who is it for? Is it for everybody that wants to be blessed? Who does not want to be blessed? Here, raise your hand. Let me pray for your deliverance now. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Say, all those that want to partake. Partake in what? We all want to partake. Who does not want to partake? You don't raise your hand. Who knows life better? Raise your hand. Let me cross you. I won't charge you. So what on earth do people mean when they say all those that want, if you want to partake in this grace, who doesn't want to partake in every grace? Power name. This is why it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, because those who love gold, those who love riches will not be satisfied with riches. Have you not read? The scriptures say, if you love riches, you will not be satisfied with it. You can't be. Let me tell you what to do when you're rich. Though. This is how to be successfully rich. The Lord tells you how to. He didn't leave us without comfort. Don't be conceited. What? Don't be proud at all. Be humble like this. Live humbly. Strive continually to be humble. Work hard on being humble. Hey! Went for one meeting. I don't know how rich that man is. I don't know how rich he is. I don't know if he's rich. Big man in South Africa. Sitting in my chair with comfort. Somewhere. Just like the front seat would be like where the window is down there. And I'm here. Maybe there are one or two seats behind. And then I turn one time like this. And see the organizer of the conference with his shorts. Ah, it was so funny. And for a GBR conference, Global Business Roundtable, Christian retreats in Ecclesburg. But the point is, that's the man that organized the whole thing. Gathered there for the shirt and t-shirt and small bag. When you pass him, goes, that's embarrassing. I've been making you feel guilty anyhow. They say that man has almost one jacket. I've been driving the same car, I don't know how many years, 14 or 16 years. But they say they are having a meeting in South Africa and they call the top 200 people inside it. Hello, yes, the president would like to meet you. They say he'll be there. He's at that level. He used to manage the sovereign wealth of South Africa. He was the manager. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't know what the sovereign wealth of a nation is? Just think of a country's savings. He handled the investments for his country. So I think he has some money. They're suspicious that he'll be wrong. Maybe he's very poor. No, I'm sure he's not poor. Because when we were leaving, he had a small banquet in his house when we left there. You see all these movies where someone's, where you have to, where there's the road. And then the house. You drive for 20 minutes to get to it and you don't see any other house. That's how he got to his house. They said there are two ways to enter. When I got there, I saw. The other one is by boat from behind. His backyard is a lake. When I entered the toilet to use their two pictures. Toilet. Oh, the air freshener, it was a burning candle. It was light. It's fire. The air freshener is scented candles. Sitting there and burn. I can't remember the rest. Maybe trauma. I just had never been in such a toilet before. It was like a small room. I just kept looking around. Unless you enter your computer. Have you ever toilet? I say, how did they untap? I can't remember if this one was like that. For those of you that don't know, you know, I like to prepare you guys for life before you embarrass me. If you ever go to a tap, you can't see a handle. Do your hand like this in front of it. It's a magic sign. You do like this. Okay, it's not a magic sign. The thing greets motion. I think it was one of those toilets that when you finish, it flushes itself like, come on here. Wow. It was just very interesting. It wasn't a normal toilet. Hey, Bonnie, why are you like this? Yeah, he was laughing. Don't be conceited. Don't be prideful. When my son told me, you see, where's one jacket? You're not hearing. I don't even have up to two. But how? Why? It's very simple. And when you also hear about him walking and an angel appearing to him and all sorts of things, then you know why. I kept wondering how they moved the material of his house to where he lives. Because the road. I keep wondering about the cost of moving the material. Like, how? Oh, look at this place. Look how we got here. Maybe they brought all my goods. Maybe they brought my water. It was just built into the edge of like almost a hill. Maybe that's where he found that. The scriptures say, don't be conceited and do not put your hope in the uncertainty of wealth. That's what it's called. The wealth of this age is uncertain. Anything can happen. But in God, who richly provides all things for us to enjoy. Now you can see. Because this is what Jesus was saying. When you go back, read Mark 10, find the contemporary passage in Matthew. Read it, okay? Jesus said that the issue, some translations don't say it exactly that way, but he said, when he said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter, the disciple said, he now said, how hard it is for those who trust in riches. So, this is the challenge of the rich person, and what I keep trying to explain whenever I talk about money matters. To those who care to hear. The problem is not that there's money in your account. The problem is that there's something in man that once you have money, you put your trust in it. How we know you put your trust in it is that if something comes and tries to take all of it away, you fight, you are scared. What happens is you try, you call it financial security. That's the opposite of faith. That thing you call financial security. Yes, that thing that Christians are being taught everywhere. As though it is a scripture. That's the exact enemy of faith in God. That financial security. What is financial security? When you can relax and not be concerned about tomorrow. What did Jesus say? Do not worry about tomorrow. For sufficient for the day is the evil of that day. with food and clothing, be content. It, Matthew 6, go and read it. He took time, read from above, and explained and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its, give me Matthew 6, and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're going to go back. Stay here since you have refused to move. Go to verse 18 of 1 Timothy 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all what? Pay attention to me first. All these things, not all other things, not all other things. And let me say something, because we always have new people listening in. Make sure you're not using your money for clothing. Make sure you're not using your feeding money for clothing. Many years ago, I asked the Lord, I was offended. I was in a church group and I observed a sister that seemed a bit too careless. And I felt, because she once in a while needs money, so she's a bit too careless with some of the guys, or with a guy or some guys, so that they can also be kind to her and share from what they have. And I remember being offended enough, and the Lord taught me about Matthew 6. And he showed me for the first time ever, all I had ever heard anyone say was, seek ye first the kingdom of God's righteousness and all other things we added. And he showed me that he never said all other things. That he said all these things. And what are these things? These things are food and clothing. How do you know? You go back up and read back. You can go further, but let's read from verse 31. He compared Solomon and flowers and said the flowers beat him in the beauty pageant. Jesus was clear. And he wasn't joking. He said Solomon in all his splendor was not as well dressed as this flower. Should I explain how? The flowers neither toiled nor spun. They didn't work for it. They received what God gave them, and in God's eyes, that is beautiful. More beautiful than Solomon. You're not hearing me or understanding me. In God's eyes, when he looks at something that doesn't sweat, but is a result of simple trust in God, it is more beautiful in his eyes than that which is decked out. It's the same principle of 1 Peter chapter 3. Women, wives, leave the outward adornment of jewels and this and that, and put on the meek and quiet spirit, which is an ornament of great price in God's eyes. Because God is habitually contented much more with the things that are not external, for God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship the spirit. That you care to carry the internal and simple trust of a flower or a bird. Is that not the comparison he made in Matthew 6? Flowers and birds. And he said, listen, this is a better way to be. Simple trust for the need in its season. He says, do not worry. After teaching on it, verse 31 is the summary. Therefore, based on what I told you, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? That's food and clothing. Jacob knew this. Jesus repeated it. He said, with food and clothing, I'll be content. He said to God, will you, if you provide me with food and clothing, Paul, in that 1 Timothy 6, said, with food and clothing, be content. Jesus, that's three witnesses. With food and clothing, anything out of that, you're going to enter the dimensions of evil. You're going to worship mammon. Food and clothing represent your basic needs. This is not four cars. This is not a Rolls Royce. This is none of those things. If by any chance you end up having that, not among the list of things God said he's obligated to give you. He's obligated to give you. And I said, let me grab the chance to remind the sisters especially. But many guys too are very guilty. I went on to meet that sister and asked. She didn't know why I asked her. She didn't know I had had my first significant quarrel with God in my heart because of her. She had no idea. And God gave me an education. He said, verse 32. Don't worry. For the Gentiles strive after these things. The nations. The word Gentiles. Nations. And your heavenly Father knows that you need what? Them. What do you need? food and clothing. Did you see him say horses and chariots? Did you see him say palaces? Did you see him say anything else? Go back, like I said, and read what preceded. God is not obligated to you to anything beyond this. Any other thing that Jara and behave like someone they hate Jara. Stop acting as though you have a right to hold God's church. Food and clothing. That's the basic need of man. John is even better. Adam, there was no clothing, there was only food. Who wants to argue? You don't agree? What did they give Adam as in land? Pack. Adam, seafood. Keep freely. There were no clothes involved. But things went bad. God now said, no, add clothes on the list. Now put clothes on the list. Before now, it was only clothing, only food. But sin, now agree. So clothes are godly. We, have you read, God made man simple, but he came up with many inventions. You guys now came up with endless things. America is almost, other nations have joined. America was one of the biggest. Came up with a million important things. Have you bought the latest? America started this thing. Have you gotten the latest? The latest of buy, own yours today. They advertise blatant consumerism. Even unbelievers know. Who has watched any video about? What do you think is killing people? When they make a kind of food that can stay for 1 year without spoiling, you think that's normal food? Normal food spoils after 1 or 2 or 3 days. You don't know that the bread, I told the people in this church years ago, that they put the same thing they used to make the soles of your shoe into bread. So your bread can survive for 5-6 days without going green. Yep. Dangerous chemicals are put into food so they can survive. Who tests all these bakeries? Do they check what they are doing? That they wrote bromate free means what? That's what the love of money does. It's the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money drives people to do the most fantastic things. And they are doing it worldwide. And the primary reason is because they want to be rich. If they were satisfied with food and clothing, that man, whoever it is, does anybody ever study these things? Look up short documentaries on how things were created. Have you seen this frying pan that it doesn't stick? All poison, all. Just name most inventions. Dangerous things like this. Dangerous chemicals. People kept coming up with things that can last long, that could sell. The wahala is that almost everything that can sell often is dangerous to the human life. If you want to bake bread naturally and in a safe way from flour, that bread will last for about a day and a half. That's how long. After that, it will go bad. Which simply means that Ogasa cannot make his bread in Enugu and import it to you. Are you understanding? Which means his market is smaller. Which means he has less money. Which in no way affects whether he has enough food to eat or go to wear. And he doesn't want food to eat or go to wear. Are you understanding the principle? He doesn't want food to eat or go to wear. He wants food to eat and clothes to wear. And many, many cars for his great-grandchildren. And because you will not be contented with that, all sorts of evil. I'm not talking about blood money. That one is clear. I'm talking about simple choices we make. Coming up with things that can get money. Because this is not frying groundnuts and selling. This is frying groundnuts and selling. So it will last. That groundnut will last. That juice cannot last for 1 day or week. So you must put preservatives, which are dangerous. But because you want the juice to last, you dare not allow people in Uyo, buy oranges and sweets and give you, and you last for 2 days or three when refrigerated. How dare you? You must send it in from Lagos and it must last for as long as forever. Yes? And the only way to achieve that is by putting preservative. So when you say 100% juice, you're lying. It's a lie. It's not possible. Is anyone following me? I'm explaining how money works. The greed for money is the root. The desire for money is the root of almost every wrong. The Bible says all kinds of evil. That many in pursuing it pierce themselves with many sorrows. It's not till you give your first child as a sacrifice that you pierce. Some people, that's how they pierce themselves with the sorrow. This is in that 1 Timothy 6. You have to go up and read from the top. But it tells you that those who pursue riches hurt themselves, they hurt others, and they end up putting their hands into all kinds of evil. They close their eyes to all sorts of wrongdoing in the name of, well, me, I don't know about that, I'm born again. But their actions, I could name almost anything you think is a source of money, and I'll show you that if you're not careful, you're sinning. Closing your eyes to it doesn't change much. Okay, what happened when they discovered that cigarettes were dangerous to human health and cause of terrible cancers and many other things? Not just for those who smoke, but those who are around those who are smoking. What did they do? They covered it up till a case came up, and J.B. Phillips, I think, and they awarded a massive amount as damages. They found out that they had known. What makes you say? The Surgeon General says that smoking may be harmful to your health. I don't know if they still say, they used to say yes. Why do they say drink responsibly? Maybe they should change to die responsibly. What does that mean? Not for children below 18. What is alcohol? Ethanol. What is that? What is strong drink? Why do you distill it like that? Why do you distill it to that level of concentration? When they ought to be like half a spoonful equivalent in a normal bottle of wine, you pack this amount, you concentrate it, then someone drinks it, it wreaks absolute havoc in his body. Who cares? We are making money from it. Seagrams, Schnapps. Why are you making it? Why are you killing people all over the world? Why are you making people drunk? Why are you destroying people? Because it brings money to you. That's all. You personally don't drink. No, you don't smoke. You don't generate it for people to take it. Why? I say it brings money. Wait till they ask. Can't you see that's made me live lavishly? That old guy is not looking for food to eat or clothes to wear. The same energy he used to make this, he could have made fruit juice. It's not that you have far less money. Are you honest?